On April 7th, 1979, the first episode of Mobile Suit Gundam aired in Japan. In the 40 years since then, Gundam has become a juggernaut, and is still so wildly popular that a nearly 20-meter-high statue of the Unicorn Gundam stands proudly in Odaiba after replacing its predecessor in recent years. Gundam's impact on both anime and live-action works can't be understated. The first episode marks the debut of the real robot genre after super robots dominated the rest of the 70s. That being said, with the gigantic amount of Gundam content that exists, it's difficult for new fans to find a point of entry or simply catch up with the story, which is where I come in with this extremely abridged look into Gundam's Universal Century timeline, covering everything that relates to the original 1979 release. This is the history of Mobile Suit Gundam. UC-0068 to UC-0071, The Rise of the Zombies. The series begins officially 11 years before the first episode takes place, in the year UC-0068, or roughly 2148 AD. Zeon Zim Daikun, Prime Minister of the cluster of colonies furthest from the Earth, also known as Side 3, or Munzo, or the Republic of Zeon, dies suddenly while delivering a speech declaring the colony's full independence from the Earth Federation. Daikun was a thinker, a man of ideas, who believed that mankind should fully migrate into space to evolve further, and that the colonies, composed of evolved space-born humans, could not be governed by those still on Earth and should become independent from the Earth Federation's government. The mysterious and sudden natures of Daikun's demise leads to a spike in anti-Federation sentiment among residents of Munzo, and a power struggle between Daikun's two closest advisors, Degwin Soto Zabi and Jim Baral. After a car bombing, implied to be the work of Degwin's daughter Cassilia, claims the life of his second son Sasro and injures third-born Dozel, Jim Baral is blamed, falls out of favor, and the Zabis officially claim power in Side 3. As Giren, the oldest Zabi son, begins to purge Daikun loyalists, Jim Baral's son Ramba begins to fear for his father and Zeon's children, Castle and Artesia, and cooks up a plan with Crowley Hammond to sneak them to Earth. But Astraea, Zeon's widow, has to remain in pseudo-exile in a high tower under the custody of Daikun's first wife, Rose Lucia. Astraea promises her daughter that she'll join her after 100 full moons, a promise she won't get to keep. In the escape, Castfall Rim Daikun kills no less than 6 men. He is 9 years old. 3 years later, Castfall and Artesia have taken the names Edouard and Sela and live in Spain with their adoptive father, the wealthy Don Teobaldo Mas, and the still-in-hiding Jim Baral. Baral spends his days telling Edouard of the Zabi family's treachery, and his nights secretly working with Anaheim Electronics on a plan to take them down and install Edouard to his rightful place as Zeon's heir. However, Cassilia has been watching very closely over the last 3 years and doesn't like what Jimba has been up to. She sends a group of assassins to Earth to take care of Baral in the Mas household, but only gets the former, as Edouard adds another body to his count, protecting himself in Sela, although Teobaldo ends up pretty severely injured. While he recovers, he gets a visit from Shuyashima, who convinces him to move to his Texas colony, located in Side 5. UC-0074. Shar. 3 years after the death of Jim Baral, the Maz family officially relocate to Texas and befriend the colony's chief manager, Roger Aznable, his wife Michelle, and their son Shar, who looks strikingly similar to Edouard, save for the latter's bright blue eyes. After some time in Texas, Edouard's school principal recommends that he skip a grade and start high school early, both due to his grades and the fact that the faculty fear him. To his point, Edouard beats a grown man almost to death less than an hour after the conversation takes place. Meanwhile, Astraea Tor Daikun succumbs to illness and dies alone in her tower. The news of his mother's passing pushes Castfall over the edge, and he decides to leave Texas and return to Zeon alongside Shar, who has been accepted to the military academy. It turns out, though, that Cassilia has kept her watchful eye on the boy a little longer, and wants to take him out of the picture permanently. Castfall, however, stays just a step ahead and plants a gun in Shar's bag, causing them to be held up at the gate. The two boys switch clothes and Shar boards the flight in Edouard's place while Edouard plans to take a later flight as Shar and steals his academy admission papers. The switch fools Cassilia's spies and they destroy the ship and Shar is killed. The next day, Castfall, now posing and henceforth referred to as Shar, begins his new life at the Zeon Academy, wearing a pair of sunglasses to hide those unmistakable eyes. Around this time, Zeon begins work on their secret mobile suit project, completing work on their first prototype in 0073, and the first prototype for the MS-05 Zaku. UC-0077 Rebellion. Shara has become the ace of his class as well as the best friend of Garma Zabi. During a training exercise against Federation troops, Shara, Garma, and their class handily defeat the Federation squad behind the pair's brilliant tactics. Incensed, the Federation officer in charge decides to try and make an example of Shara, only for it to blow up in his face and fire up the Zeon class. Shara is inspired by this to take action against the nearby Federation garrison and convinces Garma to take the lead, since it'll mean more for him to be the face of the operation. Before the fighting starts, Shara is confronted by Lino Fernandez, a friend of the original Shara, who has always been suspicious of the change to his friend's personality and the alleged solar ray damage that caused him to start wearing sunglasses upon arrival in Zeon. During the mock battle, his suspicions are finally confirmed. Shara is Castwall Rim Daikun. Lino is loyal to the Daikun family and pledges himself to Castwall's service, and even modifies some old sports headgear to better hide his identity. The operation begins in earnest, with Zenimiya holding Dozu Zabi at gunpoint to prevent him from interfering and stopping his students, while Shara and Garma lead the charge, using the element of surprise to seize control, and the class of 200 Zeon cadets defeats a garrison of 2,000 fully trained Federation soldiers in what would come to be known as the Dawn Rebellion. During the rebellion, Shara entrusts Lino with a mission, only for it to be a setup that results in his death. Loyal or no, Shara can't risk any loose ends, not when he's so close to finally exacting revenge on his father's killers. This would mark the first time Shara caused someone's death for a reason that wasn't self-preservation. It would not be the last time. In the aftermath of the Dawn Rebellion, Dozel allows the newly graduated Shara to leave and visit Earth. Before he leaves, Shara requests to be trained as a mobile suit pilot when he returns. On Earth, Shara gets a construction job, where he meets Lala Soon, a slave girl about his age, who is walking proof of Zeon's and Daikun's new type theory. Lala has powerful precognitive abilities that her master exploits, and she later uses to save Shara's life. Sometime after this, Shara and Lala both go to the Flanagan Institute to explore their new type abilities. Shara gets his wish and returns to service as a mobile suit pilot to reunite with Rambaral and his elite unit, the Black Tri-Stars, as they attempt to capture Dr. Manofsky. Dr. Manofsky was one of the driving minds behind the mobile suit project, having designed the fusion reactor that powered the machines. However, after 5 years on the project, he attempts to defect to the Earth Federation, sending them footage of the MS-04. He's killed in his escape attempt, but the footage allows his former protege, Temray, to begin work on the RX project for the Federation in March of 0078. In October, the Autonomous Republic of Zeon officially becomes the Principality of Zeon, and 3 months later, the Zeonic War for Independence begins. UC-0079, the One-Year War. On January 3rd, 0079, Zeon begins their offensive by attacking sides 1, 2, and 4, just 3 seconds after officially declaring war. In the following week, civilian colonies are assaulted by mobile suit forces and poison gas, and Side 6 quickly declares itself neutral to minimize casualties. On January 10th, Zeon commences Operation British, dropping Side 2's Isle Ifish colony from orbit onto the Earth in an attempt to destroy Federation headquarters in Jabro. However, the colony breaks up during entry, and the front half instead crashes into Sydney, Australia, demolishing the continent and forever altering Earth's climate. A day later, Side 6 officially declares itself neutral. On the 15th, the Battle of Loom commences, resulting in the destruction of Side 5 and the capture of Federation General Johann Revel, who escaped after negotiations broke down. On January 31st, after anywhere between a third and fourth of humanity had been wiped out, the two sides met to negotiate what would become the Antarctic Treaty, banning the usage of nuclear weaponry. In February, the Zeon Earth Attack Force is formed, led by Garma Zabi. They act quickly and capture most of Europe, Asia, Africa, and North America before mid-March. On April 1st, the Earth Federation officially greenlights Project V, spearheaded by Temray, with the intention of replenishing the space fleet that was destroyed at Loom and creating a mobile suit force capable of standing up to the Principalities. In July, work on the first RX-78 Gundam was completed on Side 7, and work on the RX-77 gun cannon, RX-75 gun tank, and their mass-produced variant would begin over the next month. On September 18th, UC year 0079, Shar, now one of Zeon's most feared aces, leads a special forces team in an attack on Side 7. 15-year-old Amuro Ray finds himself in the cockpit of his father's crowning achievement, the Gundam, and fends off the Zeon attack. Along with the other survivors of the attack, he is evacuated on the Federation's new Pegasus-class ship, White Base. Among those survivors are Amuro's classmates Frau Bo, Hayato Kobayashi, and Kaishi Den, as well as Mirai Yashima and Sayla Mas, who had been studying medicine in the colony. While searching for survivors, Sayla happens upon Shar, discovering his identity as her brother Casval. The group officially enlists as crew members of the now-depleted White Base under the command of Bright Noah. At the tender age of just 19, Bright went from an ensign to captain in just a matter of hours after the surprise attack claimed the life of every senior officer on board the ship. As the home base for the Federation's big gun in the form of the RX-78, the young crew sees combat almost immediately, with Hayato and Kai becoming the pilots of the gun tank and gun cannon, respectively. Amuro learns the harsh reality of war, a lesson that sticks after his first encounter with the Black Tri-Stars, only escaping thanks to the graciousness of Ramba Rao, who retreats despite having the upper hand. On October 4th, thanks to a trap set by his longtime friend Char Aznable, Garmazabi is killed in action by the White Base crew. After a decade plus of burning for revenge on the Zabis after his father's death, Char has finally found a way to get what he's always wanted, although he does express some measure of remorse for one of the only friends he's ever had, saying that Garma should blame the circumstances of his birth. As a result of his perceived failure to protect his commanding officer, Char is indefinitely suspended by Dozal Zabi. Garma's death was one of the pivotal points of the war at the later stages. It reinvigorated a Federation force that was low on morale and struggling to stem the tide of Zeon's overwhelming power, and rocked Zeon leadership to their core. Daguin Zabi becomes progressively less involved in the war effort, the death of his favorite son weighing him down, while Garen seizes the reins from his father after giving an impassioned speech at his brother's funeral on October 6th.
We have lost a hero to our glorious cause. But does this foreshadow our defeat? No. It is a new beginning. Compared to Earth Federation, the national resources of Zeon are less than 1/30th of theirs. Despite this, how is it that we have been able to fight the fight for so long? It is because our goal in this war is a righteous one. It's been over 50 years since the elite of Earth, consumed by greed, took control of the Earth Federation. We want our freedom! Never forget the times when the Federation has trampled us! We, the Principality of Zeon, have had a hard struggle to achieve freedom for all citizens of our great nation. My beloved brother, Garma Zabi, sacrificed. Why? The war is at a stalemate. Perhaps many of you have become complacent. Such a lack of compassion is. The Earth Federation has polluted our planet for their own greed. We must send them a message, but not composed of words. We have wasted too much time with words. We need action now. The Earthside elite must be taught a strong lesson for their corruption. This is only the beginning of our war. We have been putting more and more money into our efforts towards making our military stronger. The Earth Federation has done the same. Many of your fathers and brothers have perished valiantly in the face of a contemptible enemy. We must never forget what the Federation has done to our people. By focusing our anger and sorrow, we are finally in a position where victory is within our grasp. And once again, our nation will flourish. Victory is the greatest tribute we can pay to those who sacrificed their lives for us. Rise! Rise! Take your sorrow and turn it into anger! Zeon thirsts for the strength of its people! Zeon! 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 Zeon!
As Garen eulogizes Garma, a small skirmish breaks out near the Earth when Zeon forces in the area happen upon a Federation transport. And Sinshiro Amada, a native of Side 2 and witness to the gas attack that resulted in the deaths of his fellow colonists, enters combat in a simple RB-79 Ball Type K and defeats multiple enemies before having to disembark and work with Zeon test pilot Ina Sahalin to survive among the debris. Ina lends Ciro her pocket watch so the two can reunite at a set time, but is rescued before he can return it to her. After the White Base fends off an attack by Ramba Rao's remaining forces on November 5th, they rendezvous with Federation forces in Europe. On November 7th, the Federation launches Operation Odessa, a three-day campaign in the Ukraine that brought 3.7 million of their troops to overwhelm Zeon's 900,000 soldiers in the area by sheer force. On November 9th, escaping Zeon Commander Makuve orders the firing of a nuclear warhead on the Ukraine in violation of the Antarctic Treaty in an attempt to snuff out the attacking force, including General Revel. Amuro intercepts the missile, marking a turning point at this late stage in the war. This does come at a cost, though, as the White Base loses their first crew member since Side 7, Ryu Hose. Ryu sacrifices himself to save Amuro and the Gundam from certain doom when Crowley Hammond looks to destroy him to avenge Ramba Rao. As Operation Odessa ends, the Federation's 8th MS team, led by Shiro Amada, has an encounter with Zeon prototype mobile armor Absolutes 2. After Amada's Gundam ground type is carried away with the crashing armor, he is reunited with its pilot, Ina Sahalin, The two grow close and spend the night together before once again being rescued by their respective sides. 11 days later, Shiro faces a court-martial accused of treason for his relationship with Aina. He's acquitted of the charge, but the stigma of traitor follows him into the last stages of the conflict on Earth. During the final assault on Xeon's base in Tibet, Shiro resolves to lead the Federation and marry Aina. The two work together to defeat the completed Absolus III, piloted by her brother Gineas, at the cost of Shiro's lower left leg. Both are listed as missing in action by their respective sides. In December, after a failed Shar-led attack on Jaburo, the Federation relaunches the full strength of its fleet back into space, realizing that Xeon is in the ropes after Odessa and the loss of the Absolus. At the same time, Xeon launches a last initiative, Operation Rubicon, to capture the prototype Gundam NT-1, aka the Alex, dispatching their Cyclops team to Side 6, where the Gundam hides in secret while the Federation prepares it for Amuro. A day after their infiltration fails and ends in the deaths of Gabriel Ramirez Garcia and Mikhail Kaminsky, as well as the loss of the newly developed MS-18E Kaempfer, Lieutenant Colonel Killing orders a nuclear attack on the colony that can only be prevented if Bernie Wiseman can destroy the Alex. The attacking force is captured en route to Side 6, but the news never reaches Wiseman, who takes on the NT-1, critically damaging it before being struck down by its pilot, dying before learning that the pilot is in fact his friend, Chris McKenzie. Meanwhile, Amuro Ray has a chance in-person encounter with Shar and Lala, who don't recognize him as the Gundam's pilot. His emerging new type abilities draw him to the girl, infatuating him despite their role as opponents. On Christmas Eve, UC-0079, the Federation attacks Xeon's asteroid base Solomon. Dozel Zabi deploys in the mobile armor Big Zam to give his troops time to escape. The Big Zam's massive size and eye field barrier give it an advantage over the Federation fleet, and even the RX-78 struggles against it. White Base's Slugger Law makes a sacrifice play to get Amuro in position to destroy the Big Zam from below, allowing the Federation to wrest control of Solomon from the Xeon forces. In his final moments, Dozel thinks of his wife Xena and their newborn daughter Maneva. After the loss of yet another son, Degwin desires an end to the conflict. On December 30th, he departs to meet with General Revel to negotiate. Shar meets with Cassilia Zabi once again, where she reveals that she knows the truth of his identity, that he is Castfall Rem Tycoon. She arrogantly believes that his newfound fascination with new types has replaced his desire with revenge on the remaining Zabis, and sends him after the White Base. In the Elmeth and Gelgoog respectively, Lala and Shar face Amuro and Sayla in the Gundam and G-Fighter. Realizing he is fighting his sister, Shar hesitates for just a moment, just long enough for Amuro to take advantage. As he lunges forward, Lala moves in to take the blow in Char's place, dying in the process. Her new type abilities allow her to give Amuro one last message as she dies. More people are becoming like them. More new types are coming. Shar and Amuro have no time to grieve their shared loss as their ships fire on each other and Giren Zabi prepares Xeon's final hope, the Solar Ray Cannon. From the space fortress of Boa Koo, Giren orders the weapon's one and only shot, killing thousands on both sides, including Degwin. When confronted by Cassilia, he explains that he knew of his father's intentions and disagreed, believing that the time to talk peace had not yet occurred. Cassilia, in response, shoots her brother in the head and takes sole control of the last remaining Xeon stronghold, deploying Shar in the still unfinished Zeong. For the first time in their many battles, Shar and Amuro go at each other with a grudge, Lala's death weighing heavy on them. They do heavy damage to each other's units before facing each other man to man in the asteroid in a duel before a worried Sayla enters the fray, pleading with her brother to remind him that his true enemy are the ones responsible for their parents' deaths. Shar learns Cassilia's location and sends the two back to the White Base while he heads to her ship armed with a bazooka. Taking aim at the bridge, he sends a mocking salute to his commanding officer and sends Garma a last present in the form of his sister joining him on the other side. The bazooka shot hits Cassilia directly, decapitating her and destroying the ship. On January 1st, the Principality of Xeon is supplanted by the newly reformed Republic of Xeon, and a peace treaty is signed with the Federation. The one-year war is over.